April 8th. Our reading in the Old Testament will be from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 28 through 52. Here's a brief overview and commentary of what we'll be narrating today. We'll read that Moses urged the people to think about God's word and teach it to their children. The Bible can sit on your bookshelf and gather dust, or you can make it a vital part of your life by regularly setting aside time to study it. When you discover the wisdom of God's message, you'll want to apply it to your life and pass it on to your family and others. The Bible is not merely good reading, it's real help for real life. Now as we begin right there at verse 28. This verse anticipates God's judgment of Israel and Judah in the days of Isaiah. Often the phrase latter end is understood as a glorious future. Well, here it speaks of ruinous future for the rebellious Israelites. The enemy nations were like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, cruel, immoral, and oppressive. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He judges his people. You know, only the God who is completely just can judge and make right all the wrongs committed. He has compassion on his servants. See, God would discern one day between the righteous and the wicked. He would deal kindly with the remnant that loved and followed him. The song that we'll read about here today mocks those who follow false gods. They abandon the rock of truth for a rock that was not even a pebble. When he says, I, even I am he, well, that's a glorious affirmation of the incomparability of God. Well, because God is free to do what he wants, only he can either curse or bless, wound or heal, kill or give life. He's God, and as my friend Ron O'Gwynn says, he's God all by himself. Well, as we read on, God made an oath to himself that he would avenge his people. He would make right all wrongs. And of course, that is looking on down the timeline to the time his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, would come into the world, and he would take all the wrongs on himself. Rejoice, O Gentiles! He rejoices. God, in this song, invited all nations to join in the worship of the living God, to praise him for promising to restore justice. We'll also be reading about law. In verse 46, it may signify the Song of Moses or Deuteronomy as a whole. And he promises to prolong our days. The intention of God's instruction was to show the Israelites the path that leads to fullness of life and rich blessing. The purpose of all our instruction is love. All right, with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. April 8th. The Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 28 through 52. But Israel is a senseless nation. The people are foolish, without understanding. Oh, that they were wise and could understand this. Oh, that they might know their fate. How could one person chase 1,000 of them, and two people put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? But the rock of our enemies is not like our rock, as even they recognize. Their vine grows from the vine of Sodom, from the vineyards of Gomorrah. Their grapes are poison, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents, the deadly poison of cobras. The Lord says, am I not storing up these things, sealing them away in my treasury? I will take revenge. I will pay them back. In due time, their feet will slip. Their day of disaster will arrive, and their destiny will overtake them. Indeed, the Lord will give justice to his people, and he will change his mind about his servants when he sees their strength is gone, and no one is left, slave or free. Then he will ask, where are their gods, the rocks they fled to for refuge? Where now are those gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their offerings? Let those gods arise and help you. Let them provide you with shelter. Look now, I myself am he. There is no other god but me. I am the one who kills and gives life. I am the one who wounds and heals. No one can be rescued from my powerful hand. Now I raise my hand to heaven and declare,
as surely as I live, when I sharpen my flashing sword and begin to carry out justice, I will take revenge on my enemies and repay those who reject me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh, the blood of the slaughtered and the captives, and the heads of the enemy leaders. Rejoice with him, you heavens, and let all of God's angels worship him. Rejoice with his people, you nations, and let all the angels be strengthened in him. For he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will take revenge against his enemies. He will repay those who hate him and cleanse the land for his people. So Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and recited all the words of this song to the people. When Moses had finished reciting all these words to the people of Israel, he added, "Take to heart all the words of warning I have given you today. Pass them on as a command to your children, so they will obey every word of these instructions. These instructions are not empty words. They are your life. By obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land you will occupy when you cross the Jordan River." That same day, the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Moab, to the mountains east of the river, and climb Mount Nebo, which is across from Jericho. Look out across the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the people of Israel as their own special possession. Then you will die there on the mountain. You will join your ancestors, just as Aaron, your brother, died on Mount Hor and joined his ancestors. For both of you betrayed me with the Israelites at the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. You failed to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel there. So you will see the land from a distance, but you may not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel." And now it's time for our narrative in the New Testament. And today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 through 59. Here's a brief overview and commentary on what we'll be narrating today. Jesus repeatedly said that he would leave this world, but would return at some future time. He also said that a kingdom was being prepared for his followers. You know, many Greeks envisioned this as a heavenly, idealized, spiritual kingdom. Jews, like Isaiah and John, the writer of Revelation, saw it as a restored earthly kingdom. Christ's return at an unexpected time is not a trap, a trick by which God hopes to catch us off guard. In fact, God is delaying his return so more people will have the opportunity to follow him. Now, before Christ's return, we have time to live out our beliefs and to reflect Jesus' love as we relate to others. People who are ready for their Lord's return are, number one, not hypocritical, but sincere. Number two, not fearful, but ready to witness. Number three, not worried, but trusting. Number four, not greedy, but generous. Five, not lazy, but diligent. May your life be more like Christ's, so that when he comes, you'll be ready to greet him joyfully. Now, Jesus promises a reward for those who've been faithful to the Master. While we sometimes experience immediate and material rewards for our obedience to God, this is not always the case. If so, we'd be tempted to boast about our achievements and only do good for what we get. Jesus said that if we look for rewards now, we will lose them later. Our heavenly rewards will be the most accurate reflection of what we've done on earth, and they will be far greater than we can even imagine. Now, Jesus has told us how to live until he comes. We got to watch for him, work diligently, and obey his commands. Such attitudes are especially necessary for leaders. Watchful and faithful leaders will be given increased opportunities and responsibilities. The more resources, talents, and understanding we have, the more we are required to use them effectively. God will not hold us responsible for gifts he has not given us. But hey, all of us have been given enough gifts and duties to keep us busy until Jesus returns. Also read here today about the baptism of suffering. Jesus is referring to the time of his coming crucifixion. He was dreading the physical pain, of course, but even worse would be the spiritual pain of complete separation from God that would accompany his death for the sins of the world. All right, with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. April 8th, the New Testament. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 59. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks, My master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. And a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart, three in favor of me and two against. Or two in favor and three against. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, When you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, Here comes a shower, and you are right. When the south wind blows, you say, Today will be a scorcher, and it is. You fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. Why can't you decide for yourselves what is right? When you are on the way to court with your accuser, try to settle the matter before you get there. Otherwise, your accuser may drag you before the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, who will throw you into prison. And if that happens, you won't be free again until you have paid the very last penny. Psalm 78, verses 56 through 64. Can God be jealous? Well, according to Scripture, yes. Like everything else about God, His jealousy is perfect. Well, in this case, we'll read about here in Psalms today, the offense caused by the ungratefulness and unfaithfulness of his people provoked a just and holy response from God. The shock conveyed in these verses we'll be reading come not from God's jealousy, but from the fact that God, though justified in passing absolute judgment, persistently seasons his responses with grace and patience. He does the same in our lives today. Our God is a patient God, a gentle, loving God. God's jealousy over you represents an honor worthy of your deepest gratitude. Psalm 78, verses 56 through 64. But they kept testing and rebelling against God Most High. They did not obey His laws. They turned back and were as faithless as their parents. They were as undependable as a crooked bow. They angered God by building shrines to other gods. They made him jealous with their idols. When God heard them, he was very angry, and he completely rejected Israel. Then he abandoned his dwelling at Shiloh, the tabernacle where he had lived among the people. He allowed the ark of his might to be captured. He surrendered his glory into enemy hands. He gave his people over to be butchered by the sword, because he was so angry with his own people, his special possession. Their young men were killed by fire. Their young women died before singing their wedding songs. Their priests were slaughtered, and their widows could not mourn their deaths. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave.